Okay. Low battery.
We're back.
Low battery, low problems. No. We're back. Or are we?
Or are we?
Are we? Oh. We're back and okayer as always. No worse than before.
No worse than before. No better, no better than ever.
We've been better. We've been worse. Anyways, I'm Nora McNerney.
I'm Natalia Turfa.
And we are here, gathered here today. To make a podcast.
This is our special election edition.
Special edition. This is a special election edition. Is my new thing that I just repeat everything that you say?
I hope
so. I've reached a new phase of being concussed where everything feels like I'm a little piece of fruit in a jello. Just floating in a jello. That's what I'm doing. Everything seems just kind of hazy. It's not bad. I'm suspended in jello. There's worse places to be.
I mean, sure.
Everything feels slow and a little fuzzy. A little blurry. And that's the gelatin. Obscuring my vision and my thoughts. So where have we been? We took a couple weeks off due to head injury, life, general things that we had to do. And now we're back.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys know this, but this is not our day job.
Not even a job. Currently, this is just a thing that we do on top of jobs and other things. Like I have several jobs. Natalia has just one, like a loser.
I'm such an underachiever.
Natalia's just a one job wonder. Get another job. Okay. That's what I say. Who has one job?
I guess me.
Anyways, we are back for episode 13, Lucky 13. And lucky for you, we are talking not just Christianity, which is one of the most comfortable topics to discuss. Mm-hmm. People are very into talking about religion with thousands of strangers, but the intersection of religion and politics.
Ooh, which baby.
We were erroneously raised to believe was... not good to talk about.
Yeah. No.
And in fact, I cannot think of anything more necessary to talk about.
Absolutely.
Not and a thing.
It gets sketchy because I think there are rules that say, like, in the separation of church and state rules, in some of those rules that, like, I'm not supposed to talk about. People think that, like, pastors aren't allowed to talk about politics, and that's untrue. We're not allowed to promote a candidate from the pulpit. So I'm not allowed to endorse a candidate up in front of my congregation, but that doesn't mean I'm not allowed to have
opinions
and that I'm not allowed to talk about politics. I think Jesus was political, and to say that, like, oh, I just wish church weren't so political is to be like, I wish we didn't talk about Jesus.
Not only was Jesus political, but like if you had to assign Jesus a political description, I would, based on, again, just things that I've heard from you. Got a Bible, cracking it open very soon. I swear I did read a part of it. But like just a real, I think that you would call him like aggressively liberal, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus pushed the envelope a lot, and I think Jesus consistently and overwhelmingly looked around and said, who's on the outside? And then said, we're going there. And
so I'm going to run through some scenarios.
Okay.
Jesus gets on Fox News, and he says, or maybe even Twitter, okay? And he says, there's a caravan of people heading towards America. What's the tenor of that tweet?
I mean, Jesus was a refugee. And so when his family was under the threat of death, they were refugees right when he was a little kid. And so to look at a group of people and say, you're not welcome because you're fleeing violence. I mean, Jesus wouldn't be at the border blocking them from entering our country. Jesus would be in the group of people trying to come into our country. And to assign a whole group of people this, like, oh, they're bad people. I just think over and over again in scripture, we're called not to judge and we're called to let God be the judge. And so I get made fun of sometimes for being such a light touch for people. They're like, oh, Natalia is such a sucker. And I'm kind of like, my job is to help. And if they're taking advantage of me, that's on them. Like, that's not on me. And as soon as I decide that I know 100% the motivation of another person who is a stranger to me, I feel like I'm definitely on the wrong side. I just think we can't, if somebody is saying, I'm coming to this country to seek asylum, that means like, who am I to be like, no, you're not. I mean, like, that's such a, it's antithetical to Jesus. It's antithetical to Christianity to be like, we're going to shut the doors. Because Jesus required people to open their country and their world and their homes to him when he was fleeing violence and persecution.
Like,
and
you would not have a Jesus to throw at people to use as your reason for all your shitty, like, you know, like inhumane beliefs if refugees were not.
Right. He would have been killed. I mean, he would have, so they were trying to kill all the young boys because Herod had heard, like, this Christ child has been born, this Messiah was born, and he was so scared of what that meant for his place of power that he was like, okay, I don't know how old this kid is, but he's young, so I'm going to say any boy under the age of 2 has to get killed. And, like, that is slaughter of the innocents. Like, it's a Sunday, we talk about it, and it's so awkward to, like, preach that topic and be like, hey, this is a thing that happened. Like, it's just so awful to think about. Like, it was a mass genocide of kids under the age of 2, boys under the age of 2, because this guy was so scared of what Jesus meant to his position of power. Mm-hmm. And the family of Jesus heard that this was going to happen, and they left. They ran under the cover of night, and they fled to Egypt. They left their country and everything they knew and everything, all the people they knew and their language and their culture and everything that was familiar, and they ran to another country who let them in and took care of them. And then, because they were refugees, they went home when it was safe for them to go home, which is generally what happens with refugees. And so I don't think it's anybody's dream to, like, come to a strange land with people who don't speak their language and don't understand their culture.
Far away from everything they know, with their children. Nobody leaves home. It's a Worcestershire quote like that. Like, nobody leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark.
Right. And, like,
nobody steps onto a boat unless the boat is safer than the land.
Right. Imagine how bad it is for people who would choose to walk thousands of miles instead of stay where they are. Like, right. Think of how bad it must be. And to not be able to put yourself in the place of people coming here trying to seek asylum there's such a lack of empathy in that. And to be able to not be able to be compassionate with people. And I think if you are a person of faith and you can't see the humanity of people coming here and you're more scared than you are compassionate, then I'm not sure you are believing in the same God I believe in. And that's harsh, but I also feel like, man.
And what's harsh is that we have an illegal camp full of children.
Right.
Like a concentration camp filled with children. Yeah. Like, that is harsh. That is immoral. And there are all of these things happening that are getting either latently, like, you know, double stamped by the Christian community or overtly. I made the mistake a few weeks ago. A man who lives in a house in Washington, D.C., public housing. Man who lives in public housing and has never paid taxes came to our state of Minnesota to have a rally, and our news stations here did a live video of it on Facebook. And while I know better, I muted it, but I watched the comments coming in, and then most of them, or I would say just many of the enough of them, were people who were like, this should not be happening, who in their right mind could still stand behind a man like this. And then some of them were so gleefully in favor of this person. And I clicked through their profiles because I just wanted to know, who are you? Yeah. Who are you that you can say, God bless this man? Oh, God picked this man to lead our country. One of these people, I save it on my desktop just as a reminder that, like, I don't know S about F because, or F about S, whatever. I don't know anything because there's this picture. I'm going to describe it to you, but I'm going to show it to Natalia.
Oh, no.
What is your reaction to that? This is a woman's cover photo. It looks like almost a watercolor illustration of this man who lives in this house that is paid for by the public, standing dejected, resting his head in the bosom of a white Jesus. It is so perplexing.
I mean, okay, here's the thing. That the people I disagree with are also beloved children of God, and I have to believe that or I will go crazy. But I also think no.
It's just unfair because, like, God should love me more because I'm not that crappy. Like, this is where you can tell that I'm a middle child. Like, right here. I'm like, sure, yes. I mean, like, yes, God loves them, but, like, don't you think, like, not as much? Kind of like when my brothers mess up. I'm like, well, like, yeah, Mom loves you, but, like, you know, maybe I'm a little higher up on the list right now. Is that not how it works?
I think I have compassion for people who are blindly following somebody because they've been told to follow them and not thinking and listening about what they are saying. So when there's talk of a caravan and people boo, I am horrified, not because I'm horrified because people are booing other human beings, and that makes me so sad. Mm-hmm. And that they're booing people who should be, if we believe in God instead of in our government or in the person in power, if we believe in God, we should have compassion for people who are fleeing for their lives. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like we've turned so far away, and we've come to this place where we are so unwilling to admit we might be wrong about somebody that we just dig our heels in further. And I continually try to give people the benefit of a doubt, and I try to give people a little grace, and it is so hard.
Yeah.
It is so hard. But I also feel like if my job is to love, then I think I have to find the people who are most in need of my action in the world and who are most in need of my love in the world. And I feel like it is not people who are holding on to power and grasping on to, like, the winning team. It is people who are fleeing, and it is people who are camping in tents along a highway. And
it is women here in Minnesota. Like a woman that I know who posted this thing on Facebook today about how every year, you know, she goes to Planned Parenthood to get her, you know, get her pap smear. It's a fun thing that women get to do. Just swab those cervixes, right? Is that where they go?
Yeah, it's so fun.
Is that where they go? Not sure. I just close my eyes and wait for it to be over. But so it's so
personal,
you know what?
Real quick.
I truly don't care how uncomfortable that makes anybody, because just imagine a giant Q-tip going into your body. It's not fun. It also costs money. Our healthcare system is atrocious, and many women rely on Planned Parenthood for basic healthcare. Yeah. Basic healthcare to get a mammogram, to get a pap smear, to stay healthy, because we can't afford to be sick. We can't afford to, you know, go to an expensive doctor or pay, like, huge copays for our insurance. And when I think about that, and I think about that these women who are going to get healthcare, a basic human right, are then confronted by a bunch of dimwits with Bibles, I think I want to punch everyone. And then I also think that around these vicious people who are out there harassing women who are just trying to get their needs met, there have got to be decent people too. And so I struggle with that and the ways that we all have sort of like seen stuff like that or like seen our family and friends do something. We're like, oh, well, you know, I'll just do my part. I'll donate my $20 a month. And how necessary that is to call that stuff out in real life when you see it. But more importantly, that in a few days, and when you hear this, it'll be like 2 days, we have this amazing action that we can take, which is that we can vote. And our national elections are so important, but guess what? So are our local elections. Oh, like,
they're so important.
Truly, this year has been an education for me in everything that I did not know and currently do not know and have yet to learn about our local government. And for one part, I do thank a friend of mine who I am happily going to vote for Hennepin County Commissioner. If you guys don't know what your county commissioner does, look it up. It yeah. is an incredible position.
Yeah.
Here in Minnesota, Hennepin County, Irene Fernando, who is the friend that I mentioned, she is set to be the first woman of color and the youngest woman to ever be elected Hennepin County Commissioner, one of seven seats that will manage in 2018 more than the net worth of Beyonce and Jay-Z. Money that goes towards our roads, our schools, towards yeah. foster care, towards our court system, towards our criminal justice system. It's really, really something that's been so invisible, but then shows up in your everyday life.
Yeah.
So those are things that I would normally maybe not even pay attention to, frankly, you know? Like, well, I know that I'm supposed to vote for my congressperson. Yes, that I know how important that is. But it turns out the county level and the city level are so important and amazing. And when I'm looking at what our candidates stand for, I am thinking about things like healthcare, which I find to be so immoral. I find our healthcare system to be so immoral and so antithetical to what Christianity is supposed to be. And I just cannot believe that I live in a world where we elect people who purport to be Christians who are saying, oh, no, we need to, like, take Medicare away, which protects our most vulnerable people.
Yeah.
Vulnerable people.
Yeah. I mean, I think – so there are some things. I mean, if you are a faithful person, and I think oftentimes faithful people tend to be, you know, one-issue voters, and they say, like, I'm pro-life and that's it, and I'm only going to do that. I think I understand that need to vote that way. I have family members that vote that way. My grandmother was a, you know, Catholic, staunch Catholic. She voted pro-life every election until Obama, by the way. But she was so staunchly pro-life and felt like that was the one thing that mattered. And I get that impulse, but I also think to widen your horizons a little bit and to think about, like, what would it look like for the most vulnerable people not to be medically taken care of mm-hmm. or to not be helped?
All those babies you were so passionate about being forced into the world.
Right. Like. And even the ones who, you know, adults who rely on Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security. I mean, like, if you have any compassion in your heart for an adult with a disability, you cannot vote for somebody who's going to take away some of these, and to call them entitlements makes me so mad. Like, I will, my head gets, mm-hmm. because it's not an entitlement. It's not something I'm like.
It's also not a luxury.
It's not a luxury.
If you look at how much most people get from Social Security and then compare it against the average rents in your city, you will be so depressed.
Yeah.
So depressed.
So in the things that we should be passionate about, I mean, when we talk about, like, people say, you know, why am I so political when I preach? And I'm like, I don't know why you are hearing what I'm saying as political. All I'm doing is preaching what Jesus said, which is looking around and saying who is being left out and who is not being taken care of. And Jesus always went there first. And so I think we have to look at the world with those same eyes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, corporations who are making lots of money on people being sick are not where Jesus would put his time and energy. And that, I think that's like a thing we have to be aware of and realistic with. It makes me so mad that we have decided, you know, we are this type of country who's going to just let the free market decide. And I'm like, yeah, but the free market is full of assholes who are like just trying to make money off of people right. who are sick and who are needy. And that makes me so mad. And so we should elect people. We should, I mean, part of what we get to do, the reason why we're doing this episode is because we get to vote our value, and we get to say, like, do I believe people are more important than companies? Yeah, I do. I do believe that. I think that we should all believe that. And I think our faith would ask us to vote our values, and our values can't just be a one issue. You can't just look at the world. And so I know plenty of people who are pro-life who are saying, I cannot vote for the pro-life party this time around because it's going to take away the lives. It's going to hurt the lives of people.
It is a lot. And I truly think that in some ways it feels like things are worse than ever. And in some ways I think that this has just been revealing things that have been there all along.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it's like when when you pull up a corner of your carpet and you're like, oh gosh, is this really how dirty my floor is?
Yeah.
Like along the edges? Yeah, it is. And that dirt was always there. It's just now you can see it.
Yeah.
Now you can see it. It was hiding in that little crevice between the floorboard and this wall-to-wall carpet. I'm currently looking at my carpet, which is gotta go.
But I think
but it's always been that bad. Yeah, it's always been this bad. And now we are just seeing like who people really are,
and
seeing who people really are. And honestly,
it's
good. It's good.
It's
yes.
good to be able to see that. And that's why we have to. So for me, I went on this a kind of a rant on Twitter not too long ago where I was like, listen, I get that people don't like being called a racist. And they're like, I'm not a racist just because I support so-and-so. And I'm like, listen, if you support somebody with your vote, if you vote for somebody who is racist, then you are, maybe you don't think you're racist, but you are supporting racism. And if you vote for somebody who is homophobic, then you are supporting homophobia. And if you are voting for somebody who is anti-Semitic, then you are supporting anti-Semitism. And all of these things should not be who we are as Christians. We should not be okay with people killing, going and saying all Jews should die. And like, and any government official who is on the ballot who has not come out and said anti-Semitism is wrong and a sin should not get your vote. They just shouldn't. And anybody who has come out and said anything that even seems to be a little bit racist or a little bit homophobic should not get your vote. These are, we vote with compassion for humanity. And this means like we look at the people who need our voice and need our power, and we go and vote with them in mind, because part of being a Christian means like I may not vote for my self-interest first. Like
I absolutely believe that to be true.
And I think
if it
people,
means that like
right.
Like locally we vote for a school referendum that raises my property taxes. Great. Wonderful. Wonderful. I'll figure it out.
It sucks. I get it. Like I live in Minneapolis in the city. I mean, we have two school and like public school referendums on the ballot. And I'm like, I get it that the people in my neighborhood who send their kids to private schools or who don't have kids in school anymore are going to be like, no, I don't want to vote for this because it doesn't affect me.
Yes, it does. I vote for whatever does the most good for the most people. And guess what? Like, those kids are a part of your world.
They're a part of your community.
And
like,
we,
this idea that like, you know, if we all rise together. And so taking care of the least is a better system. This sort of idea that like, you know, trickle down, that like idea that like, oh, if you take care of these people at the top, they'll like help lift up the people at the bottom.
Has literally never happened.
It doesn't
BT
work.
Dubs. They're not people, like, I have an extra $1 million. Let me just sprinkle it about. They're like, I'm going to invest that. I'm actually going to invest it in some offshore accounts. Like rich people, trust me, are so shady.
So,
okay. I say this as a future rich person.
You're gonna get shady.
You're gonna need to keep me under control. You're gonna need to be like, Nora, remember. remember not to be a crappy person. Like, yeah, they're, yes, people, rich people have secrets. Okay, they know what to do with money. They know what to do with money, and they know that, like, the more they can keep, the better.
And so this idea that, so if you're voting and somebody is, like, really excited about a tax break for a wealthy person, you should be so skeptical about that, because we should be offering the excess of our economy to the least of these. Like, we should be offering the most we can to the people with the least. And instead, we are doing the opposite. And that is not faithful, and that's not Christian. And I don't understand how people who are Christian aren't speaking up against this kind of thing more often. And there was a pastor, I don't know if you saw this clip where Jeff Sessions was like doing a talk, and this priest, a Methodist priest, was like, as a fellow Methodist, I'm going to call you out on your shit. And he like stood up, he got escorted out, and he just kept on like quoting scripture at this guy. And it was so awesome. And I was like, good, we need more people to be reminding the world what Jesus said. So, I mean, the thing that people talk about, like, it's Romans 13, where they're like, you should render to God, you know, like governments, you should be under the purvey of the government. And it's like, ugh, you know what Jesus also said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. And I think people often look at that verse and they're like, oh, well, that means I need to, like, you know, give help to my government.
Give Caesar his salad.
And I'm like, but you know, when Jesus
that deserved a guffaw from you.
Good joke, Nora.
Give Caesar his dumb haircut.
I think when Jesus said that, he's literally holding a coin with Caesar's picture on it. And he's like, okay, give this money to Caesar. Pay taxes. Fine, do that. Give to God what is God's. Whose image do you have on you? Like, you are the image of God. So you give yourself to God, and you look around at the people in the world and you say, you are created in the image of God. So I'm going to work on your behalf, and I'll give whatever the government needs to the government. Sure, I'll pay my taxes and I'll do that thing. But I'm not going to work on behalf of the government. I'm going to work on behalf of God. And like, that's a different way to look at the world. And I think to vote on behalf of the greater good is not easy, because we so often think about ourselves first, right? And Christianity calls us to look at the other first and say, like, you know what? Like, what's going to help? There's I have a quote from Rabbi Daniel Ruttenberg. She's if you can follow her on Twitter, folks, you should, because she is so awesome and she always speaks such good truth. And she says she would talk about finding questions that everyone can answer. So if you are a person of faith, there's a question you can ask yourself that you can answer. Everybody can answer these questions as they go into a ballot box, or they just go into the little place to vote, and they can say, for whom are you responsible? What do we choose to ignore? When do you take a stand? What does the world need from you? And who is in your community? Mm-hmm. And when you start asking those questions, it takes you outside of yourself, right? So like, we are responsible for each other. I mean, yes, we're responsible for ourselves. I get that. But also, like,
yeah, I think a dingbat would answer those and be like, oh, everyone's responsible for themselves. The people in my community are all like straight and white and Christian. And like, I feel like those questions, but to, like, me, those are wonderful questions and deserve to be drawn out a little bit,
yeah, like,
more.
What do you choose to ignore? You know, I think on behalf of my self-comfort, like, I do choose to ignore racism, and I do choose to ignore when some asshole says some super sexist thing to me as a woman in ministry. And I think I you know, like, uncomfortably laugh about it or blow it off, because I want to maintain a level of comfort for people. So I do let some things slide in order to maintain peace. And I think the time for that has kind of come and gone. I mean, I think we can't ignore some of these. It's out in the open, like we said, like, yeah, some of this stuff is now not hiding anymore. And now that's good, because we get to be like, this stuff is in the light. We're going to call it out for what it is.
And
so
there, especially in Minnesota, there are times where these questions will bring you to places that are more complicated than this is a good person and this is a bad person. And what's coming to mind is the attorney general race here in Minnesota, where one candidate, Keith Ellison, was accused of physical abuse by an ex-girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And the other candidate, Doug Wardlaw, I don't even need to know his name because I'm not voting for him because he is...
a truly horrible human
being. A truly abhorrent person.
He is still under the love of God, but he is obviously
God
not...
God loves him, I don't.
He is not sharing that love of God with other people because he is definitely a person who is very homophobic and is very interested in taking away rights from people who are people and deserve rights. Mm-hmm. And he is...
literally the worst.
He is
literally
awful.
The worst. And so,
perfect is the enemy of the good, right?
Yeah, perfect is the enemy of good. But, you know, I think that especially as a woman who positions herself as a feminist, I do believe that we believe women, right? That is our job, is to believe women
Absolutely.
When they say something. And I also believe that I cannot vote for a man who is dedicated to hurting some of our most vulnerable brothers and sisters. There is no way that I can do that. And I can also say that Keith Ellison and the things that he is accused of, he has also been more open than any man I have ever seen in the public eye with welcoming an investigation, with acknowledging what he has been accused of. And I think sometimes it does feel like does not feel like a fantastic choice to say, like, I believe women, and also, you know, I can vote for Keith Ellison if these accusations are true and proven to be true. Like, we can clean up that mess when we get to it, but we cannot have a man like this as our attorney general, like a truly shitty dude.
And I think it's important to be like, we're not gonna, there's no perfect candidate because we're all humans and we all make dumb mistakes and people are sinful and they just aren't perfect people. And so, like, if you're waiting for the perfect candidate, you're just never going to have anyone good to vote for. And so it's, again, saying who is vulnerable and who will act on their behalf.
And like the two-party system, it sucks. This is what happens when you're given two choices. That is the worst. Hopefully someday we can do better, but this framework, I'm like, that's what we get. And they're just, I don't know, we live in a state in Minnesota where we want to believe that we are still a blue state. I think we're a blue city center in a sea of red. And you and I both live in the Twin Cities, and we are lucky to be represented in the future by Ilhan Omar.
Ow, ow.
Woo, woo. Who is a Muslim woman running for Keith Ellison's old seat. And she's truly, I mean, she's so qualified. She's so intelligent. She's so morally sound. She represents so much good and is the target of so much hate. So much hate.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I think if the candidate you are... Now, I get it. Like, political ads are the worst, and they just bring out the worst in every person. And so I think no matter what side of the aisle you are on, like, political ads suck. And they're awful, and it should be... I would like to run on a platform of no more negative ads. Like, negative ads should not be allowed. You should only be allowed to say what you're going to do. That's it. And you should not be allowed to say something mean about another person. But again, there's me being my, like, Pollyanna over here.
And like, the woman is running against Ilhan is just, I mean, if you can put your name on a website that is filled with awful, awful
racism
and
Islamophobia.
If you can put your name to that, like, good luck to you. But I mean, bad luck. I'm hexing you like the witch I am. But I don't know. It's just very, it's very, very disheartening. And
but again, as Christians, I think we can choose to not vote for a party and instead say, who represents my values? And I am not going to vote for somebody who is overtly or covertly racist, homophobic, transphobic, anti-Semitic. I mean, I just sexist. I just think there is possibilities for us to be able to vote, not necessarily like straight party lines. Like, as a Christian, you should vote for who Jesus would vote for, or who Jesus would be walking with, or who Jesus would be working on behalf of. And so I don't think it's that hard. And it makes me so frustrated when people are like, God has chosen this candidate. No, this is not how God works in the world. God doesn't choose candidates, and God doesn't have candidates like, God told me to run for office, and so here I am. I'm chosen. Like, that's not how God operates in the world. And
no,
that what I think God is asking us to work on behalf of those who need us, who don't have a voice, who don't have a place, who have been excluded and marginalized, and it is our job to be able to answer the question of who is that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but if you are a white Christian, that is not you. You right. are not marginalized. No. You are not being persecuted. You are fine.
There is room. There is room. There is room.
It's not pie.
Yeah, it's not pie. Somebody getting something doesn't mean you get less, for Pete's sake. Okay, well, this has been a very special episode of Cafeteria Christian, where I say mean things, then Natalia tries to make them sound better and more sensible, and not just like I'm breathing fire over everything. But I can't wait to vote on Tuesday. I'm just going to be stank eyeing everyone there, just looking at people. Actually, I'd do that. It's not good. I just look at people. I'm like, I know who you're voting for. You're the worst.
You're the worst. Yeah, I think be honest with yourself, Cafeteria Christians, and really, really say, like, what are my values? Write them down. Make a list. Mm-hmm. Say, what are the things I believe in? Who are the people I'm called to act for? And then vote mm-hmm. those values. I just think, like,
and also, like, okay, so I was raised by a family who did not talk about who we voted for. I was a child, so I wasn't voting, but my parents just were like, no, it's a secret ballot for a reason. But what I think about that is that if you do that, and it is absolutely right, it is a secret ballot, but people will assume your values.
Yeah.
People will assume your values, and it's not always great, because I think often, I'm sure people do this to you because you're a white woman, people say things to me that are not okay.
Yeah.
And assume that I'm in on it because I look like them. And I'm not down with that.
Yeah. And I think, so many of you who have sent us notes and messages and, DMs on Instagram often say, like, I don't want to be that kind of Christian. And it's so good to find this community of people who are also not that kind of Christian, who are trying not to be dingbats in the world. And, like, that's awesome, but we need to be louder. Mm-hmm. We're not loud enough. The loudest true. People are out there being like, you're a baby killer. And,
mm-hmm. And we the need quietest to, people you know, can't say anything.
Right.
Many people do not have... do not have a voice that people will listen to. So use those voices. Remember, you're responsible for more than yourself. There are people in your community who you might not even see that you are responsible for.
Yeah.
And do your best. Don't be a dingbat. And we will talk to you later. Speaking of community, we have a Facebook group. You can find it. You know how to search for things. We also have an Instagram account, if you guys have heard of that. It's hot new app. Really taken off. I think they might make it. And I mean, very fresh, very new. Nobody's even called it yet. We have a voicemail. We have a voicemail. You can call and leave us a voicemail. And we'd love to start including some of your voices in this podcast. So write this down, 612-568-6066. Call us.
We'd love to hear what you're thinking. And for those of you who've been sending us emails, thank you for that too. CafeteriaChristian@gmail.com. We have loved those emails, and I know we can't respond to all of them, but we do read all of them, and we are so honored when people take the time to share their stories with us. It's been really incredible.
Yeah. So voicemails are good because then we can play them instead of reading things in my own voice, because I will do inflections that won't represent you at all. That's not cool. So if you have a topic that you'd want to talk about or a question that you want us to address, why don't you call 612-568-6066. This has been Cafeteria Christian. I'm Nora McInerney.
I'm Natalia Turfa.
And just take what you like and leave the rest. Okay? Also, don't be a dingbat. We are a part of the Altar Guild network of podcasts.
Yeah. Oh, and Altar Guild is just about to start their third season. Woo! So if you want to go and subscribe to their podcast, it's also just a really lovely, progressive Christian podcast filled with people who are wonderful.
People who aren't the worst. That's all we can promise you. We are produced by the Reverend Matthew Ian Fleming and made possible by a grant from a bunch of Lutherans. Yeah, that was cool of them.
They give us some equipment.
Yeah, that was cool. That was very chill of them. Okay, bye.
Bye.